For all of Lent, for the 40 days of Lent, I've taken us through a consideration of the nature of evil, the existence of evil, its impact, as well as the seriousness, the gravity of sinfulness, which, of course, the two are very much aligned. And, of course, the reason for that was very intentional, because you cannot celebrate a resurrection if you don't know why someone died, and if you don't remember that someone died for something very, very serious. And so to recount that, because this is the Christian story, right? Our sins had made us enemies to God. Not that God was our enemy, but we made ourselves enemies. Anytime we sin, we turn against God. And the more grave the sin, the more of a turning away. And this was the state of the human race for centuries and centuries. God knew this would happen. He knew when he bestowed free will upon us that we would sometimes misuse this free will and turn from him. And we would do evil. Now, how do you overcome evil for the entirety of the human race? Right? No single man could do this. And what we do know from God is that sacrifice is made for the remission of sin, for the forgiveness of sins. That this is what he put into sort of the history of Israel, our ancestors, and then ourselves as well. So, of course, Jesus comes and he suffers and he dies. That's principally the reason he came, was to suffer and die so that we would no longer be enemies to God, to the Father, but that we would be reconciled to him. And unless we take sin seriously, the resurrection doesn't make sense. Neither does the crucifixion. If our sins don't really matter, then Christ's crucifixion is an overstatement. It's an overreaction to not that big of a problem. But given the reaction of God to the state of sin, which is so profound, becoming man and dying on the cross, that should tell us something about how he sees the nature of sin and evil. You know, and we look at the world today, and I think we often wonder, well, why can't we have another big event? Right? We look at the world and gosh, I mean, we're so fragmented as a society. I don't know if there's anything we'd agree upon, but I think we might generally agree that, you know, our world is in not a little bit of turmoil, if not even disintegration. And that's the good news for today. But you know, unless you look at the problem, you can't see the goodness. You have to see both. So anyway, but we might wonder, well, why doesn't God intervene in a more grandiose fashion? Right? Why doesn't he fix stuff, basically? And we wonder this just on a personal level. Why doesn't he fix, you know, my family, myself, my disease, my illnesses, my, you know, whatever it is, and then the world in general? Why doesn't he do more? I think this is a natural question. I ask this question too. And then I get tired of asking the question, and I just say, well, it's all your problem anyway. I mean, I truly just give it to God. But here's the deal. We see this even in the New Testament, that Jesus did not come to fix everything in the world. It's not the reason he came. He fixed some things, and he continues to do so. Some people experience great healings and miracles, but by their very definition, they don't happen that often. God did not come to fix our lives, to make everything fair, to remove all evil or, you know, victimization in this life. It's not why he came. And the more that we as the human person try to do what he did not do, the more that we actually get off track. Because what we're trying to do then is we're trying to make the world into heaven. And that's a grave mistake. And we've made it so many times throughout history. Mankind thinks that we can make earth into heaven, essentially. God didn't even seek to do that, nor does he seek to. And we hear in the second reading, keep your eyes fixed to what is above. Remember who you are. You are not merely a physical being. It is not your parents who actually created you. It is God who created you. It is God who created your soul, and it is to God that you belong, and hopefully to God that all of us will be headed. And so on this Easter, we remember particularly who we are as created beings by God with an eternal destiny. This life is going to be a struggle. It's going to be unfair. There's going to be victimization, and we will do all we can to rise above it, knowing that we will never put an end to it, because this world was never meant to be paradise. That's not why God created it. He created it as a temporal reality, temporary, as we prepare and learn how to love him and give our lives over to him. God does something grandiose all the time. We just don't see it maybe that way. Of course, on the cross, when it looked like the greatest defeat in the history of the world, the death of God, on the third day he rose again, and there he definitively defeated death. What looked like defeat was actually a great act of victory, which what looked like the greatest evil the world has ever known, and in one sense was, became the greatest good the world has ever known. God consistently brings good out of evil. And he doesn't just do it on the cross, he does it within our very hearts. Being able to bring a rebellious soul back to him, to turn around and to love him without forcing it, but by gently moving a soul back to him, is an incredible act. It's almost a miracle. For some of you, it is a miracle. I can't believe some of you. It's amazing. Some of you men out there, I can't believe you keep coming back. It's fantastic. What God will do within us is the Easter miracle we need. He's not going to fix the world, but he might transform you and me and our families. And if we want to fix the world, we fix ourselves. We fix our families. We solidify our families in the truth, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who loves us beyond all doubt and with all magnitude. Keep your families close to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus as close as you can. It is to him that we owe our lives, our goodness, our forgiveness, our grace. All of it comes from him. And it is to him that we are headed. And so on this day, we remember where we have come from and where we are going. And we are so grateful to be blessed, continually blessed by the Lord and his grace. Please stand. (Clears throat)